The following message was recorded at Geneva Presbyterian Church in Canton, Michigan, on Memorial Day, Sunday, May 29, 2011, at the 10 o'clock service. The scripture lesson was Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. The message was delivered by Meg Wilson, Director of Children's Ministries. And the title of the message was The Daffodil Principle.
Well, good morning. In this morning's gospel reading from Mark, Jesus looks beyond the obvious, beyond the superficial, and sees the value of a truly giving heart. Jesus then challenges his disciples to think about how we show love to God. Who is willing to give their whole selves to God? I invite you to hear these words from Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more money into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." The Word of God. I asked the praise band to share a song from Mark Schultz in response to our scripture reading. It's a really beautiful song, and I think you'll find the words will really touch your heart and be very meaningful.
Say that you loved till your final breath. What will you do with the time that's left? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What would you do with the time that's past? Oh, and all the pain that seems to last. Can you give it to Jesus and not look back? What would you do with the time that's past? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, what will he say when your time has come and he takes you into his arms of love? With tears in his eyes, will he say, "Well done"? What will he say when your time has come? Oh, hallelujah. Time that's left, will you live it all with no regret? Will they say that you loved till your final breath? What will you do with the time?
Thank you. I'm tempted to just say the benediction and send you all on your way, but what kind of a seminary student would I be? Well, it finally happened and we survived. You should be proud of yourselves. This past week, the world as we know it was changed. After 25 years, the Oprah show has ended. No more aha moments, no more favorite things, no more amazing giveaways. I can't even tell you to look under your chair and there'll be something there. No more spiritual secrets revealed. What will we do? Who will be our mentor of truth and spirituality? Don't get me wrong, though. I did record the last several shows just to make sure I didn't miss anything really interesting. Oprah is known for being an icon of success in American culture for a quarter of a century. Her trademark has grown into a billion-dollar empire. No surprise that Forbes magazine has repeatedly listed her as one of the most influential people in the world. Now Jesus, he did not have Oprah's marketing team or her star-studded band of friends. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus didn't hang out with the influential crowd, but rather with the marginalized, the nobodies. Jesus didn't point to the outrageous, but to the very ordinary. Which brings us back to the gospel story. Stuck in the book of Mark is this short four-verse story, which is really more like an aside than a significant event. Jesus has just been speaking about the excessive displays of arrogance and showy spirituality, especially by the temple priests and the authorities. And as he finishes his rather heated criticism of those who want everyone to notice their piety, he sees a woman who no one notices. Jesus recognizes the unmistakable look of poverty. Clothes tattered, one ragged piece of clothing piled over the other, stained with years of dirt. Shuffling across the temple grounds, she drops two thin coins into the temple collection box. Talk about an unimpressive moment. An old woman gives a meager little gift. Nice story, but not the stuff that got you on Oprah's farewell finale. As much as we would like to be moved by this woman's sacrifice, it really doesn't come close to the life-threatening drama of the disciples or the heroes we read about in the Bible. What makes the story of the widow powerful is it isn't dramatic, it isn't spectacular, revolutionary, or amazing. Here's a woman who no one notices, or worse, no one even cares to notice. In the world that she lives in, she's just part of the landscape, a blur in a crowd of faces. But she is a faithful blur. an inconspicuous lover of God. She loves God every day and lives God every day. She doesn't care whether she's noticed. She cares about whether God is noticed. Jesus understands this poor widow. Jesus knows the importance of people who couldn't care less about being noticed. He told lots of stories about significantly things that seemed, that didn't matter. They seemed totally insignificant. One lost sheep, a lost coin, a tiny little mustard seed. Jesus was trying to tell us something. The spiritual life is most often filled with the little decisions, the tiny steps towards God, the tiny glimpses of His presence, little changes, small successes, and imperceptible stirrings. Christianity itself is most powerful in the unnoticed life, in the inconspicuous servant, in the unrecognized saint, the invisible disciple. We really shouldn't be surprised. After all, Jesus chose not to change the world with armies or swords or legions of angels or lightning bolts, but instead He changed the world by rejecting fame and welcoming the infamy of a criminal's death. Simple living is critical in our times because the media has an insatiable hunger for the complicated, the bigger-than-life stories. Now, certainly genuine heroes can be found on the front pages, the ones that over the past 25 years have been featured on Oprah's stage. The reality is, though, there are millions of simple heroes, heroes that will never make it on television or on the cover of a magazine. Their stories usually go unnoticed, and yet they're the ones that really impact our lives. Often, their stories aren't told until we attend their memorial services. Small, simple acts done by a few inconspicuous, unnoticed disciples who have bought into the upside-down, invisible kingdom of God. Their stories encourage all of us to recognize the power of the ordinary, the significance of the insignificant, the eternal difference that regular, unfinished, under-construction people like you and I can make. In the first scripture that Cindy read from Philippians, Paul was writing to encourage his friends, the church in Philippi. He was trying to keep this community of believers on track. Listen again to a portion of that reading. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, energy deep within you. God Himself, willing and working at what will give Him the most pleasure. The scripture reminds me of a wonderful story called the Daffodil Principle. Some of you may be familiar with this story. It was told by a mother a few years ago. Her grown daughter kept calling and saying, "Mom, you've got to come over and see the daffodils before they're over." "Okay, I can come on Tuesday," the mother finally agreed. Tuesday morning came and she was running behind, but she knew she had promised, so she drove over to her daughter's home. Plastic toys were strewn across the front yard, and the happy shrieks of her little grandchildren greeted her as she got to the door. The first words out of her mouth were, "Forget about the daffodils, Caroline. I can see you've got plenty to do here." Her daughter smiled calmly and said, "I got it under control, Mom." So they buckled the kids in their car seats and started out. Pretty soon they were off the highway and turning onto a small gravel road where there was a small country church. On the far side of the church, there was a hand letter sign that read, "Daffodil Garden." They got out of the car and they each took a child by the hand and headed down the well-worn path, around the church and down a small hill. And there it was. It looked like someone had taken a great vat of gold and poured it down the valley. Daffodils were everywhere, planted in majestic, swirling patterns, great ribbons of deep orange, white, and lemon yellow. Beautiful. Each different colored variety was planted in a group, so it swirled and it flowed like a river with its own unique hue. There were acres of daffodils. "But who has done this? How is this possible?" she asked her daughter. "It's just one woman," Carolyn answered. "She lives over there in that small house." They walked up to the house, and on the patio there was a homemade poster that said, "Answers to the questions I know you are asking." The first answer was a simple one, 50,000 bulbs. The second answer was, "One at a time, by one woman, with two hands, 2 feet, and sore knees." The third answer was, "Began in 1968. The fourth answer was, "The daffodil principle. Start today, one step at a time, to change your world and always love your Lord." Imagine one woman over 40 years ago had begun one bulb at a time to bring her vision of beauty and joy to a little church nestled in an obscure little valley, planting one bulb at a time. Year after year, she had created something beautiful and something inspirational. This woman had forever changed the world in which she lived. Wow. I don't imagine you will be planting 5 acres of daffodils or ever be featured on Oprah's magazine. I'm not even sure if Jesus would have agreed to be a guest on Oprah. Jim and I debated this the other night. Perhaps he would have, because he could have used it as a platform to spread his message. But I think the chances are even greater that he would have declined the invitation. Jesus wasn't impressed with self-promoting, but rather with simple acts that impact lives. Jesus recognized the significance of the widow's gift, of those 2 small coins. He knew what a sacrifice it was for her to give. But I think it's interesting that he sees the widow's generous spirit and he uses it to teach his disciples, but he doesn't go over to the woman and lavish her with praise. For he knows that that would make him like the temple authorities who bragged and called attention to their giving. Jesus would not use the popular motto, "Go big or go home," but rather, "Go small and keep going." He must have known how easy it would be for us to dismiss the little things as being insignificant. You know the situations, the ones that don't seem worthy of our time or our energy, and we're already overloaded and we're already overwhelmed with our own needs. And we skip the opportunity to reach out because it seems pretty insignificant and barely worth noticing. Those simple acts are the ones that really make a difference, aren't they? This winter, a few days after my father had died, I was running around trying to get enough Diet Coke and Fresca to take to my sister's house. And I got up to the cashier and I was starting to unload my cart. And I noticed a college-age girl with a Michigan State sweatshirt on. And I knew from that moment that I liked her. And she was just standing in front of me in line. And she reached down and picked up a case of Coke that was from the shelf on the bottom of my grocery cart. And all she said was, "Here you go," and she smiled. And as I said thank you to her, I could just feel my eyes well up with tears, because that was what I needed right at that moment. That simple gesture would not have earned her a seat on Oprah's stage, and yet I felt totally blessed by her act of kindness. When Paul was writing to remind the church to keep on drawing upon that energy that God had placed in the depths of each of our beings, to keep saying yes to God over and over again in small ways, each and every day, to respond with life-giving love, the love that was in the widow, the love that was in the young woman in the grocery store, that resides with each of us. The daffodils were one woman's way of saying yes to God. One bulb at a time. And finally, the words of the song that James sang, "What will you do with the time that's left? Will you live it all with no regret? Will they say that you love till your final breath? What will you do with the time that's left?" The words of scripture and the words of song invite us to respond to God's love, being inconspicuous, unnoticed disciples who have bought into the upside-down, life-changing kingdom of God. I invite you to once again let the words of this song enter your heart in a new and powerful way today.
What will you do with the time that's left? Will you live it all with no regret? Will they say that you loved till your final breath? What will you do with the time that's left? Oh, hallelujah. The time that's past, oh, and all the pain that seems to last, can you give it to Jesus and not look back? What will you do with the time that's past? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What will he say when your time has come? And he takes you into his arms of love. With tears in his eyes, will he say, well done? What will he say when your time has come? Oh, alleluia. Time that's left, will you live it all with no regret? Will they say that you loved till your final breath? What will you do with the time?
Amen. Thank you.
We hope that you enjoyed this message. If you have questions or would like to know more about Geneva Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at genevachurch.org or call the church office at 734-459-0013.